Well, I'm excited to be with you for the last message in the series, This is the Way. And it's really a simple one. It's titled Living Blessed, because I think all of us want to live in the place where we are blessed by God. This kind of shows us the nuts and bolts of what that looks like, because I want you to live this way, blessed by God. So we're going to look at a story that's out of Luke chapter 9. I think hopefully it'll be encouraging to you and give you kind of a formula of like what we can expect if we're going to live in such a way that we are blessed by God. So let's pick up with verse 1. I'm going to read a fair amount, so just stick with me. I'll do it quickly. In Luke 9, verse 1, it says, "One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus had given them authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And he sends them out, gives them some instructions, says, live by faith. And everywhere they go, they're encountering people who are being delivered from the oppression of the enemy and people who are being healed from their sickness. This has to be pretty unbelievable and amazing for these disciples. And they're probably thinking, wow, look at what we can do because Jesus is with us. And it's got to just be awesome. And then they come back and they talk to Jesus. And this is really the story that I want us to get at, which is the next few verses. It's in verse 10 where it says, when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything that they had done. Now think about that. They're telling Jesus the stories like, Jesus, we met this person, like they were sick, so sick they were going to die, but we prayed in your name and they were healed. Or we met this person that was totally crazy. Everybody thought they were nuts, but really they were being tormented. And like we prayed for them and they were delivered from the power of the enemy. I mean, this is like a big deal. They're telling the stories. So when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. They had to be so excited, so full of faith, knowing that Jesus was with them. Then he slipped quietly away with them towards the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where he was going and they followed him. He welcomed them and he taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who were sick. Now Jesus is back healing the sick and the disciples are watching again. Verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him. Now remember, they're in a rural place. There's crowds, lots of people. The disciples came to him and said, send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so that they can find food and lodging for the night. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place. Verse 13, because everything kind of shifts here. But Jesus said to them, you feed them. That's what Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you feed them. This is the response. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for the whole crowd? So they've been on this amazing faith journey just prior to this scene, like where they're casting out devils, healing sick people, and now they come back and tell Jesus their stories, and like Jesus leads them out to this really remote place, but the crowds are following Jesus because he's teaching people, he's healing the sick, and there's thousands of people around, and the disciples are like, hey, yo, Jesus, like, they're hungry, like, we need to send them out back to the villages so they can get something to eat so they don't starve, like, they're gonna get, you ever been hangry, Jesus? Like, we want these people to be okay. And Jesus' response is, you feed them. And now I want to shift gears just a little bit. Not really shifting gears, I want to shift accounts because Luke, the physician, wrote this. This is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But John's account is a little more detailed here. So I'm going to look at John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It's the same story. But it says, Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, you see, John personalizes it. John is, even as he writes it, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was very in tune with the heart of Jesus, and he knew that Jesus loved him. And he's saying, turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Verse 6, he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he's going to do. Jesus knew the outcome, but he's turning to his disciples and saying, you feed them. And then John says, well, he really turned to Philip and looked at Philip and said, hey, what are you going to do? I want you to feed them. And here's the thing, like, if we are going to live blessed, here's the reality. We need to stay close to Jesus. What happens when you stay close to Jesus? A few things. Here's the first one. He's going to speak to you. The second thing, the authority that is on his life is going to be on yours, and he's going to use you to bring life and healing and wholeness and freedom to the people around you. So we can take this out of Luke and out of John 6. So I want you to know that how do we live blessed? I've got four things. Here's the first one. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close. What does that mean? What does it look like? Here's what I mean when I say stay close to Jesus. There's a proximity that comes through prayer and worship. Stay close. But it's really impactful and powerful when you pass the test. See, we talked about that. Passing the test of adversity, passing the test of success. But here's what we need to recognize. The biggest test we'll ever face is the test of obedience, because that's what really puts our faith to the test. See, until it's tested, it's just knowledge. Jesus can deliver. Jesus can heal. It doesn't even matter in the past if you've had great success in Jesus' name, bringing healing and freedom to people. Because every test has to stand on its own. And I don't want you just to pass the test. I want you to live in the blessing of God, that staying close to Jesus and understanding the blessing of obedience. Because at some point, Jesus is going to turn to you and say, this is on you. Do you trust me or not? There's going to be a moment, just like Philip had that moment in John chapter 6, where Jesus looks at him and says, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus was putting him to the test. Listen, your obedience is what brings the blessing of God. I'm just going to briefly turn this. This wasn't originally in my notes, but to what happens when we walk in obedience. And this is just a biblical principle we see all the way in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. He's talking to the nation of Israel just before they go to the promised land. God wants you to be in the place that he's promised you, but obedience is the key. Staying close and walking in obedience. You'll experience these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. Your fruit basket and your bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do will be blessed. And then for the remainder up through chapter 28, verses 1 through 15, it's all about the blessings of God that come through obedience. But verses 15 through the end of chapter 28, about the curses of disobedience. And let me just say, as a pastor, I would be remiss if I did not tell you about both the blessings of God. This is the way. Live blessed by obeying the words of Jesus. But there's also a curse that comes on us when we do it our way. It's the curse of sin. It's the curse of our flesh. It's the curse of our way, where we think we know what we're doing, but oftentimes we don't. Trust God. He will put you to the test. He does this with Philip, where he says, turning to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? A long way away, Jesus. It's not here. He's testing Philip with a question. Where does provision come from? When you're close to Jesus, provision comes from him. Miracles come from him. Blessing comes from him. So first point is you need to stay close to Jesus and walk in obedience. The second point, if you're going to live blessed, you have to know what is possible. Let me just remind you that there is a theme from the Old Testament through the New Testament that Jesus says often in the New Testament. We see this, that nothing is impossible with God. And we need to remember that. If you want to live in the place of blessing, you need to recognize that can't is not a word that Jesus will use. Like, not when it comes to his purpose and plan. Can't in regards to, that's not how he operates. Nothing is impossible with God. But here's the thing. We have to know. That's why the second point in living blessed is knowing what's possible. Everything. Everything's possible with him. In John chapter 6, Philip's reply when Jesus is testing him, Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we would not have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He says, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" The disciples had just come off of a multi-day trip, many days out in the villages, weeks more than likely, out in the villages all around Galilee, preaching the truth that Jesus was the Messiah, praying for people, demons are cast out, people are healed. And then when Jesus is saying, "Hey, y'all need to feed these people," like, "What are you talking about?" Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Hey, where can we buy bread?" He's like, "Buy bread? What are you talking about? We don't even have money. We have nothing." They had nothing. They had no money to buy the bread. They didn't have, you know, they couldn't have paid for everybody, because if you know this story, there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. How are they going to pay for that? If that's 10 bucks a meal for 5,000 people, geez Louise, how much is that? What, 150,000? Plus now we're talking like 15? Like it ends up outrageously expensive. Philip's like, "What are you talking about?" And then Andrew says, "Listen, this is what we have. You have to know what is possible with what you have. Never discount what God has placed in your hand. Know what's possible, that God can take nothing and make something. And if you have something, he can make that something many and multiply. You just gotta know. You wanna live blessed? You have to stay close to Jesus, walk in obedience. You have to know what is possible. There's nothing that's impossible with God. So all things are possible. God can do way more than you think." This story proves it. Know what's possible. And here's the third thing. You have to give that which can be blessed. You have to give what's in your hand. You have to give your best, your first, your only. God does not want your leftovers. He wants all of you. He wants the first and the best of you. Stop giving God, like as Christians, we have to stop giving him our leftovers with our time. We have to stop giving him just the leftover pieces of our heart because it's been broken again. And we want God just to come and be a fixer rather than be the one who's the protector, because he's got his hands around our whole heart. He wants our first. He wants our best. And so Jesus says, "Why don't you guys feed him?" "Philip, where are we going to get bread? Where are we going to feed all these people?" "We can't do that, Jesus. What are you talking about?" And then Andrew says, "All we have." But at least he says, "This is what we have. Bring what you have to Jesus. That's what can be blessed. When it's all you have, you bring everything to him." Do you remember the story of the widow's mite? You can Google that if you don't know it, where Jesus and his disciples are at the temple and they're standing by the offering bucket, basically, and they're watching people bring large sums of monies, and the Pharisees make this ordeal about how much they're giving. And then this one poor, humble lady comes and puts just basically 2 small coins, just hardly anything, just a few cents, into the offering. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "She just gave more than everybody." I'm like, "What? She hardly gave anything." He's like, "Yeah, everybody else gave out of the overflow, their leftovers. But she gave everything she had. Because that's what pleases God, when you give all of you." Listen, I want you to stay close to Jesus, to know what's possible, but you need to give what can be blessed. He wants all of you. And you're like, "Well, Pastor, I give my 10% tithe." Man, that is just a reminder that it's all God's. We have to have a heart where we give everything we have to him. It's all his. That widow gave all that she had, dropped in those 2 coins, those 2 mites. What are we giving? Am I giving him the best of my time, the best of my mind, the best of my body, the best of my intellect, my job, my relate? Am I giving him all that? Listen, you want to be blessed? I want you to be blessed. You need to stay close to Jesus and walk in obedience. You need to know that there is nothing that is impossible. He can do anything. He doesn't always, because he's doing what is wise, and what, but he's called you to walk with him and trust him and know that anything's possible, and you give him that which can be blessed. Don't give God your leftovers. He doesn't want them. He doesn't need them. What he wants is you. All of you. It never ceases to amaze me that people say, well, you know, I'm going to come and give God my Sundays. The principle of the Sabbath and coming to church on a Sunday is a reminder that everything we have belongs to him. What did you do to get here? Goose egg. And the tactic of the enemy is to make the life that you've been given seem like a curse, and you try and control it yourself, and that's simply a recipe for it actually becoming one. But when you give your life wholehearted, everything to Jesus, it's blessed. In fact, Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you need to lose it. If you want to gain your life, you need to lay it down. And he is speaking of an internal. It has external ramifications. That's why the Bible says that Paul writes, and he says that God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want you to go, here's my life. Here's my family. Here's my children. Here's my kids. Here's my money. Ouch. He wants you to know that he's trustworthy. And just like he put Philip to the test, he'll put you to the test. What are you giving to him? What are you giving to him? Are you truly able to lay your children before the Lord and say, God, they're yours. I'll do my best to steward them, but they're yours. You're going to have to protect them and keep them and watch over them. Are you able to do that with your house and your cars and your relationships and your money? Any one of those. He doesn't want your leftovers. Give what can be blessed. Look at verse 14. It says, there were about 5,000 men there. Because what good is this with a huge crowd? There are about 5,000 men there. And Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. Listen to me. This is such a huge key. I want to live blessed. I want my children to be blessed. I want my finances to be blessed. I want my house to be blessed. I want my relationships to be blessed. Jesus can only bless what you give him. That's what he's going to do. They had to give him the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and then Jesus took them, and he looked towards heaven, and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. Do you know what happens in this story? He passes out. Everybody eats. Realistically, probably at least 15,000 people eat from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And at the end, they pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets. Read the story. 12 baskets of leftovers. Why 12? So that Jesus' closest friends and followers, his 12 disciples, would each be staring at a basket that was overflowing with way more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And in fact, that was what remained after 15,000 people had eaten, to show them that he can be trusted. And he blesses what you put in his hands. Here's the fourth thing. You need to understand the power of multiplication. Jesus multiplies what you give him. Give him your heart. Give him your soul. Lay every area of your life before him. I wrote this, our leftovers given to Jesus, it's a mindset of scarcity and starvation. But when we give everything to Jesus, his leftovers that come back to us, just the leftovers, because let me remind you that your life is not your own. When you give it to Jesus, he's like, thank you so much. You'll be blessed in the end, but his goal is to use you to be a blessing to other people. And the byproduct of Jesus's overflow at work through you is this, our abundance and our sustenance. We are called to live from a life of overflow. But not our own, because what overflows out of us when we're squeezed is nasty. But when we surrender all to him, it's amazing and beautiful. What does Jesus want? For us to empty ourselves so that he can fill us with him and we live from his overflow. What are you holding on to tightly? Let it go. Let it go. Give it to Jesus. This is how you lived blessed. Maybe it's your kids. Oh my gosh, that's a big one for so many people, especially moms. You need to lay your children down and say, Lord, they're yours. I give them to you. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to trust you. Maybe it's your physical possessions that you need to go, Jesus, I'm giving them to you. Maybe it's your finances that you've not been able to give that to the Lord. Maybe it's your heart and your soul and your mind, and like you want to do it your way. Lay it down. I want you to live blessed. Stay close to him. Walk in obedience. Know it's possible. Give what can be blessed. It's everything, because Jesus is in the blessing business. Doesn't mean life's perfect, but he means he'll take all of you, especially the junk, and turn it around for good if you trust him. I want you to trust him, and maybe you need to do that. Maybe you've been operating in fear rather than faith, and maybe you've failed some of those tests where Jesus is looking at you like, how's this going to happen? And you're going, I don't know, I can't do it, and then you try and make it happen on your own. Just give what you have already to him, and he'll bless you. Maybe I need to pray with you. Maybe this message has stuck you right here, and Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and say, open up those things that you've been holding on. He wants your heart, your mind, your will, your soul, your whole life. Maybe you need to pray with him and surrender. And what's that look like? This, just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I recognize you're speaking to me now, and I open up my heart to you, and I'm opening my hands to you and letting go of what it is that I've been holding on to, and I give you control. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that was you, just know this. He heard your prayer. That's a brand new beginning. Let us know what's going on. My heart is to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow, because this isn't the end of your journey with Jesus. It's the very beginning, and we want to help you grow and go in that. Love you guys. Stay in touch. Look forward to seeing you again. God bless.